Thank you. You may be seated this morning. What a great time of worship through song and through fellowship with one another and prayer. And we are going to continue our worship as we open up God's Word and see what He has for us this morning. So if you will get out your copy of God's Word this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we will continue through our series, Living in Light of Gospel Grace. Excuse me this morning, this cold weather has gotten my voice a little weak, and I've already been speaking this morning, so I may have to take some sips of water and clear my throat. I apologize for that. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, last Sunday, we talked about walking in wisdom. If you were here, you know that the whole sermon was talking about how it is important that we pay attention and put our minds to walking in wisdom. So we get home, and my daughters and I are having lunch. And one of my daughters says to me, "Dad, that was a good sermon, but..." Okay, you already got it, right? When everybody says "but" after they give you a compliment, you know what's about to come. And so I was kind of gearing up, all right. She said, "Dad, it was a great sermon, but it seemed like all you did was tell us to walk in wisdom. You didn't tell us how to walk in wisdom." And I said, "Yes, yes, you're exactly right." She got it. Because you know that I harp over and over and over that in the Bible, God never gives us imperatives. He never gives us the commands, what we are to do, without giving us the indicative, the statement of fact or the truth that tells us how or enables us to do it. And so I was so proud of her. But then I reminded her what you did miss in the last sermon was what I told you at least three times, that this week I was going to tell you how we're going to walk in wisdom. All right, so A minus, okay? But that's good, because as you go through the Bible and you see the commands of God, you don't need to say, "Well, God has just burdened me with all these commands." God has given us these commands so that we know how to live in right relationship with Him, but He has enabled us to live in right relationship with Him through Christ. All right, now I'm going to not be happy if you don't answer this question. So what does God tell us in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians? All that we have in Christ. So Paul has told us, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Chapters 4 through 6 is Paul telling us now how you are to live in light of, all right, all that you have in Christ. How you are to walk, how you are to live your life. And we are to walk worthy of the calling to which we have been called in Christ Jesus. And so we've gone through how we walk in unity, how we walk in love, how we walk in light, and that's why we need to walk in wisdom. We're to shine the light of Christ into the darkness, which means you have to walk in wisdom. And that's why he says, follow along with me in chapter 5, verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And so last week, we talked about walking in wisdom in every moment of your life. Look, pay careful attention that each moment of your life you are walking in wisdom, because that is the only way that you make the best use of each moment of your life. Walking in wisdom, because that is the only way that you're going to walk in light. And so the question then is, okay, you told us we are to do that. You told us why it's important to do that. So how are we now to do that? Pick back up with me in verse 17. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." I want to pick up where we left off last week in these verses with verse 17, and I want to give you two things that God has done for you that enable you to walk in wisdom. You can walk in wisdom. I left you with a burden last week. I apologize. I'm going to lift that burden this week. All right? We're able to walk in wisdom. You can. All right? The first point this morning, you can walk in wisdom because God has made His will known. Because God has made His will known. Now, in verse 17 and 18, Paul gives two contrasts. The first one is between the foolishness and understanding the will of God. Okay, so right out of the blocks, we see it's foolish not to understand the will of God. That's what he says in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we see that it is foolishness not to understand the will of the Lord. They're in opposition to one another. Why? Because foolishness in the Bible is associated with darkness and with lostness. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly," there's foolishness, "to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Because the fool rejects God, he lives in darkness. He cannot accept the things of the Spirit. And so what do? They pursue the things that they think of are value. They pursue the things that they think bring true life. But in reality, they're of no value at all. And they don't bring life, they bring death. Because the things that they pursue are sinful, and sin always leads to destruction and death. And so what we see in the life of the fool is that they have the most important things reversed. They're upside down. What they think, or what really is important, isn't important to them. And the things that aren't so important are important. That's what they're going after. Now, they have facts about life. They have facts about God. They have information that you and I have. And so they'll go out into the world and they see the same thing. It's not like we get new information. They can read the Bible. They see the sunrise. But yet they still say there is no God. They still don't walk after the things that are important. Because those facts never get them to the truth of God. Why? Because they're blind. They're lost. They don't have wisdom. They don't know what to do with the knowledge that they have in order to live a life that glorifies God. And so because they don't have the light of Christ shining in them, because they don't have an understanding of God, then they walk in foolishness. They walk in darkness. They do not understand the will of the Lord. However, for the believer, you can walk in light. Why? Because you understand. You have been shown the light of Christ in your heart. Therefore, you understand, can understand the things of God, and you can understand the will of God. And so, in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, Paul says this, "For at one time you were in darkness." He gives the same contrast. "But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true." He was giving us a clue as to what was to come there. If you're going to walk in the light, you have to walk in wisdom. And the fruit of the light, or walking in wisdom, is what is good and right and true. And so what we see here is to walk in light is to discern what God defines as good, right, and true, and then to make decisions in life based on that. And that's wisdom. That's walking in wisdom. Well, so now wait a minute. How am I supposed to figure all that out? Well, you walk in God's will. When you do what God commands, then you are walking in wisdom and therefore walking in light. It's that simple. God has revealed His will to you. He has shown it. He has not hidden it from you. He says, "Listen, believer, you put your faith and trust in Christ. You're going to go shine the light of Christ out into the world. In order to do that, because you live in darkness, because of your flesh, you have to walk in wisdom. You have to take all the facts, all the knowledge, you have to submit it under my will, what I want you to do with all of that. And if you do that, then you are walking in wisdom. To walk in wisdom is to walk in the will of the Lord. You do what He says. You do what He shows you to do. You do what He commands you to do. You walk in wisdom. And so, again, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish and walk in foolishness, but be wise and understand the will of the Lord and implied, apply it to your life. Walk in it. If you want to walk in wisdom, you walk in the will of the Lord. You discover, you understand, and you walk in God's will. So don't live like the blind fool walking in foolishness. Instead, understand the will of God and walk in it. Walking in God's will is walking in wisdom. That's what Paul is saying. Here's the problem. Number one question I get, what's God's will in my life? Wait a minute. If I'm going to be light in the darkness, which means I have to walk in wisdom, in order to walk in wisdom, I have to understand and know God's will. And the number one question I get is, what is God's will for my life? See, from a lot of believers, we don't understand God's will. And we don't understand God's will because we think it's some mysterious, like, something out there that only the super spiritual get. Like, they feed you a pill at seminary, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, what was that movie where they give you the pill? Thank you, Matrix. I knew you would know. That's why I looked that way. Like, all of a sudden you get the pill in Matrix and, oh, reality sets in and I know God's will. That is not how this works. I want you to hear something. Listen, listen. You can know God's will for your life. He has made it plain and clear. He has revealed it. It's not hidden somewhere. It's not in some special book. You don't need some special pill. You can know God's will in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Wait a minute. I've heard something that sounds like good and acceptable and perfect. It was back here in Ephesians when Paul said the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. They're parallel. He's saying the same thing. So what needs to happen? I have to be not conformed to the world. I have to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. So this does parallel verse 8. God's will is what is good and acceptable and perfect, or what is good and right and true, however you want to say it. And so there needs to be a renewing of the mind in accordance with what is good and acceptable and perfect and right and true, in order for you to discern in your life what is good, acceptable, perfect, right, and true. Okay, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. You have to know what is good and right and true so that as you're living your life, you can go, oh, wait a minute, that's not good, right, true, acceptable, or perfect. So that can't be the will of the Lord. This isn't good, right, true. That can't be the will. Oh, this is in line with what God says. So I'm discerning. There's got to be a renewing of the mind in order for me to discern as I'm living out my life. And so that's how it happens. Now, let me ask you a question. When you don't know where you're going, you need to get from point A to point B. You have no clue how to get there. What do? Yeah, use a map, right? Listen, guys, you don't have to ask for directions anymore. Because there's this thing called a map. And it has the roads and it tells you how to get from point A to point B. I mean, it's already laid out there for you. Listen, God's will is the same. There is this thing called a Bible. And He has laid out His will already for you. It is a map. Now, it is more than the instructions for life. It is more than the roadmap for life, right? But it is that. If you want to know God's will for your life, just like if you want to know how to get from point A to point B, you pick up God's word and you look at the map, because that's what shows you what is good and right and perfect and true. God has revealed very plainly to us what His will is. It is not that complicated. And here's something, it's always in reach. It's accessible. We are privileged in America. I guarantee you, if I go to your houses, I bet all of you have more than one, probably more than two copies of God's Word in your house. I'm embarrassed to say I probably have about 10, but they're just different versions and different gifts and things like that. And yet we continue to say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Yes, you do. It's right here, available, accessible to you. And here's the other thing. God, because He's always good, right, and true, He's always going to tell you what is good, right, and true, no matter how your circumstances change. Unlike a map that has to be updated because the roads always change, and so they've cut this one off and they've taken you around a back road, this never has to be updated. His truths are always the same. And so the map is always the same. You can take this map and apply it to your life, and you can teach it to your children, because regardless of the circumstances of your life changing, God's map never changes. And so you will always know how to walk through each moment of your life wisely, because He reveals His will. Therefore, there is no excuse for not being light in the darkness. So how does this work practically? Well, listen, foolishness comes from trusting in purely human knowledge and excluding divine knowledge. In other words, you are a fool when you say, I'm going to trust fully in what I know and what other people tell me, and I'm going to reject what God says. Wisdom is allowing the knowledge of God revealed to you in His Word to dictate what you do with human knowledge. You submit all human knowledge to God. That's why the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When you revere God, you subject all other knowledge to the wisdom of the Lord, to what He says to do with that knowledge. And then when you are doing that with each moment of your life, you are walking in wisdom, therefore you are walking in light. Again, how does this, what does this look like practically? I'm going to give you four things. Number one, how do you know the will of God? Number one, look at the map. It's sad that I even have to say that. But look at the map. One of the reasons you do not know where you are going or how to get there is because as men, you refuse to pull out the map. You refuse to ask somebody. That's what we do spiritually. We have five copies of God's Word and we never take them off the shelf except on Sunday to sit here or to be in Sunday school. If you want to know God's will for your life, open the map. Number two, study the map. Maps have keys. Maps have different colored roads for different things. Stacy and I always go on vacation and we're going and we see all these different roads and I talk her into taking the little black roads because they're shorter. Man, that always gets me in trouble. Because those little black roads are like two-lane roads. When you're in Texas, two-lane roads have cows and tractors and all kinds of stuff, right? So it's 10 times slower. Well, that's why they have the key. This is called the Express Way, Marcus. Express for a reason, right? It's in blue on the map. But we don't study the map, and so we read it, and we're like, okay, 5 minutes, 5 minutes prayer. That's called a quiet time. Check the box, move on. It's not just looking at the map, getting it out and reading it. It's studying the map. What does this mean? What is he saying here? How does this apply to my life? Number three, memorize the map. Yes, we have access to the map, but as you're walking through your day, you may leave your Bible at your desk or you may leave it at home. If you've memorized the map, then guess what happens? You get into a situation and all of a sudden verses start coming back to you and God starts revealing His will in this situation. He starts showing you the way. You memorize the map. And then four, listen, follow the map. Follow the map. Don't think that you know better, that you know a shortcut that's going to get you there quicker. That's not how this works. You open God's Word, you read God's Word, you study God's Word, you memorize God's Word, and then you live God's Word. You do what He says to do. And you say, okay, well, that makes a whole lot of sense, and I already knew that. Then why do you keep asking me what God's will is for your life? Well, what I mean is, what is God's will when it's not like black and white here on the pages? Like, I've got four job opportunities. What does God want me to do? I've got five guys calling me. Which one am I to pick? You know, God doesn't say, you know, pick Sam, don't pick, you know, Mark. It just doesn't say that in there. So what am I supposed to do when it's not black and white? That's a great question. Let me give you the answer to that in one sentence. You ready? Here it comes. Do what you know, and you will know what to do. That's real clear, isn't it? It actually is. If you will do what you know, then in those situations where it's not black and white, you will know what to do. And so here's the deal. Are you already being obedient to the obvious commands of God? Is that the pattern of your life? When God says, do this, are you already doing what you know to do? See, we want to know God's will, but we're not doing the black and white things. God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. And we come once every Christmas and Easter. I don't know God's will in my life. Well, it's because you're not doing what He already has told you that is very obvious for you to do. You pick the command. Are you doing it already in your life? Is that the pattern of your life? God, here's the situation. It is obvious. Black and white. You tell us in your word what we are to do with this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. If that's the pattern in your life, then you're doing what you know to do. That's the first part of that. Okay, are you following biblical convictions about secondary issues of importance? Now, what does that mean? Well, there are some things that we look and we're like, you can go this way or you can go that way, but you've got to be within the bounds of that, what the Bible has set. And you set convictions in your life based on biblical truths. And so are you living in accordance with those convictions? So there is conviction in my life about certain movies that I'm going to go see and not go see. That may not be a conviction in your life. But the question isn't, is it a conviction for you or me? We can debate about that, right? The question is, am I living in accordance with that conviction? So I have this conviction given by the Holy Spirit, by things that are revealed in the Word of God. The question is, am I living by that conviction? Am I going and looking at a movie and saying, wait a minute, I can't see that movie because God has convicted me not to go to that sort of movie? Or am I just ignoring that and continuing to do what God has convicted me not to do? Which, by the way, is sin. If there is conviction in your life and you are saying, no, I feel convicted about this, but I'm not going to do it. It doesn't matter whether it's black and white. If God's convicted you and you continue to do it, it's sin. So are you following the black and whites? Are you following biblical conviction? Number three, does this specific decision that you're talking about, right? It's not black and white, go against any command God has given, either keeping you from what He says you should do or causing you to do what He says not to do? Well, you say, well, then it would be obvious that it would be wrong. Well, you think? But here's what we do. Well, the job isn't wrong. There's nothing wrong with a job. I'm not selling drugs, right? I have all kinds of, you know, opportunities in this job. It looks like a great job. So I think I'm going to take this job. And then your family never sees you and your church never sees you and you work yourself to death. There's no time for rest. So does that decision, that may be an okay decision about the job, keep you from obeying the things that you know already that God wants you to do or not to do? Because if that decision, that job, may have great opportunity and it may have a good money to support your family, but it keeps you, which is good, it keeps you from doing what God commands, then that's not the job for you. Do what you know and you'll know what to do. And then number four, are you pursuing a gospel-centered life? Is the decision you're about to make in this area that isn't black and white reflect the life, death, and the resurrection of Christ? Is it gracious, or are you going to have to be ungracious? Is it sacrificial? Those type things. All right, I've done all of that, and both fit the bill. It's either way. There's a fork in the road. I could go this way. I could go that way. What do I do? Whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You know why? Because God is sovereign enough that whatever you choose, He will use that for your good and your glory. And if you're working within His will, you know it's not going against conviction. It's not a black and white. The decision is going to keep you from a black and white. It's gracious. It's not against the gospel. Then do what you want. Because you're following along God's will in the rest of your life. When you do what you know, then you will know what to do. All right. That's why we want you here being discipled. That's why I'm so passionate about discipleship. Discipleship is not about gaining biblical knowledge so you're the smartest in the room when you walk into the next reunion. That's not why we want your nose in the Bible. That's not why we teach. That's not why we're such sticklers about everything here being in accordance with the truth of God's Word. The reason that I'm such a stickler about discipleship is because it's you're a way to know God's will for your life, how you're going to direct each decision of your life. The reason you don't know God's will is because you are not looking at the map. We want to give you opportunity after opportunity to know and to study and to memorize and apply the map. That is why we do discipleship. That's why Sunday school exists. That's why Bible study exists. That's why life group exists. That's why we have women who gather together. It's why we want you in one-on-one discipling with a more mature Christian who can help you look at your life, talk about the things that you're going through, direct you to the Word of God, and help you understand what is good and right and true and perfect as you walk through your life. But there's a second truth here. In these verses that we see, God has enabled us to walk in wisdom. Number two, we can walk in wisdom because God has made His Spirit available. He's made His will known and accessible, and He's made His Spirit available. Verse 18, the second contrast. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this one's a little bit harder to understand. Because you have to look at what he's talking about. You got to go a little bit deeper. Now, I believe that it's okay to use this verse to talk about it's not right to be drunk. That's fine. But that's not the primary point of this verse. Okay? The contrast is here for a reason. The contrast is being made by Paul so that you will think on your life and ask the question, who or what has control of my life? Paul says, don't get drunk with wine because that is debauchery. Now, I have to admit, I have never used the word debauchery outside of the pulpit in this verse or reading it. It's not a word that we use. So let me talk about that. It means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasure. That's the word debauchery. Go impress your English teacher this week, all right? Now, it's an interesting word in the Greek, though. It comes from the root word sozo. Sozo in the Greek means to save. It's the word we use for our salvation. God saves us. It's sozo. The difference here is that in this word, there's a negative prefix of ah. Now, what happens, English teachers, when you put ah in front of a word? No English teachers. It negates everything. What does amoral mean? All right. You don't have any morals. Amoral, right? They don't have any. That's how we describe. So if it's before sozo, it means it has no saving quality. And so here's what you get. You get this going after sensual pleasures that has no, or excessive indulgence that has no saving quality. They are destructive. So he's saying, don't be drunk with wine because why? That we just talked about that. This is the way of the fool. It's foolishness because there's no saving quality in that. It's destructive. When a person is drunk, They stumble around. They're unable to think straight, talk straight. Why? Because they cannot control themselves. The alcohol is taken over. As a matter of fact, what do we say when somebody's drunk? They are under the influence of alcohol. And when this is the case, bad things happen. They hurt themselves or others. They get in fights with people, hurt them or hurt themselves. They destroy property. They get behind the wheel of a car and they kill other people. There are approximately 88,000 alcohol-related deaths in the U.S. each year. It is the third highest preventable cause of death in the United States. Think about that. The third highest cause of preventable death in the United States. Death by alcohol. Not because you've consumed it, but because something has happened. You have killed someone or you have died because of your inability to control. Now, why do they call it preventable? It's preventable because you have control over whether you drink it or not. You get to make the choice. Nobody makes you drink alcohol. Right? You have the choice to drink it. However, once it gains control of your life, you can't regain control until its effects wear off. And so people have chosen to give control of themselves to an outside entity. By taking alcohol and continuing to drink it, they have said, I am willingly going to now give control of my bodily functions to this thing called alcohol. It will control my life. And as we have already talked about, that's a very unwise thing to do because of the dangers that it brings. Now, here's the contrast. Paul says, but wait, don't do that. But there's a contrast. Don't get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. It's excessiveness that leads to destruction because you're giving control of your life to the alcohol. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't fill yourself with alcohol and give it control, but fill yourself with the Holy Spirit and give Him control. Do you see the contrast? Let the Spirit control your life. It's a conscious action in your life. Now, some will use this verse to say that you must constantly receive the Holy Spirit. Right? That is not in the Bible. The Bible tells us you get the Holy Spirit in full at the point of salvation. So then why does Paul say that you need to be filled with the Spirit? Let me just make it even a little more confusing for you. The verb there is be being filled with the Spirit. It's continually as you go, be filled with the Spirit. So what is he talking about here? Well, the deal is not the quantity of the Spirit that you have. The deal is the quantity that the Spirit has of you. You have all the Spirit that you're ever going to have at the point of salvation. The question becomes now, how much of you does the Spirit have? How much have you given control to Him? Because we love to do this. Oh yes, save me and take me to heaven, Holy Spirit. God, I'm going to put my trust in you because I want to get to heaven. You can't have my finances. I'm not giving you control of my finances. That's me. Now, I'm not giving you my marriage. Nope, nope. I'm not giving you my parenting. I'm not giving you my job. I'm not giving you my driving. I'm not giving you my attitude. I'm not giving you any of that. I just want you to get me to heaven. By the way, that is probably someone who's not going to heaven because they don't have Jesus as Lord. But it's in every area of your life saying, does the Holy Spirit have control here? If He doesn't, I'm going to give Him control. When you do that, you are being filled with the Spirit. His life is taking over more of you and more of you and more of you and more of you all through your life. And so to be being filled with the Spirit is an everyday understanding of where are there areas in my life that I haven't given control over to God, and if I haven't, I'm going to let go, I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to allow Him to move on into that area of my life. He can have control. And so, how much does the Holy Spirit have of you? How much of your life have you surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Listen, God has made the Holy Spirit available to all who will come to Him in Christ by faith. He indwells every believer. However, the Holy Spirit is not going to force God's will on your life. He doesn't come in and you're now a puppet. He comes in and he says, I will do what you allow me to do. Not because he needs your permission, but because that's the way that God has set it up. He's not going to force himself to in your life for you to obey. So either way, it's your choice to surrender the Holy Spirit or not. Are you going to give control to other things? Are you going to take control of your life? Are you going to allow those things to dictate to you what's going on? Or are you giving full and total control to the Holy Spirit? Moment by moment by moment in your life. Listen, if you want to walk in wisdom, then you're going to give control of your life to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is what leads and guides you and reveals God's will in the Bible. You will allow Him to guide you to discover and empower you to do the will of God in the everyday moments of life. When you allow Him to do that, you will stay off the unwise path. You will stay on the wise path and shine the light of Christ into the darkness. Now, some of you are going to have no idea what I'm about to say. Others, you will know very clearly. But not so long ago, when we started talking about maps, a map was this extremely large piece of paper that you had in your car. Now, when I say large piece of paper, y'all think this. I mean, like, you couldn't hold it in your arms because it was so long. And so what you would have to do is find on that huge piece of paper with little bitty roads where you were. You'd have to find out how to get to from point A then to point B. And then when you actually made your way to your destination, you basically just threw the map away because you couldn't fold it the way it's supposed to be folded to get it back in your glove box. So you just had a whole bunch of maps and a lighter and you just lit it at the end and that one's gone, we'll use the next one. You know. And it was extremely confusing and dangerous because it took up the windshield, right? Well, man, they made an improvement. This thing called map books. Now, map books take that same map and then it cut it out in sections and put it in book form. And so it was a whole lot easier to find. And so if you wanted to go on vacation or go out of town, you had to have that big map. Well, now you only have this book, but there's a problem. Because when the road ended on the right side of the page, it took you like forever to figure out which page that road picked back up on. Because they had to cut it out. And if you know, if you cut out the center, there's four sides. And the road goes up here, down, over. So if it goes over here, you're lucky if you turn the page and it's there. Most of the time, you've got to like look all over the map book. So again, it's confusing. Well, then they came out with smartphones. Ooh. Smartphones. I mean, the map is right there. And guess what? You don't even have to look at the map. Why? Yeah, it tells you. Hey. Cover my phone up. Where's it? Okay. Hey, Siri. Yes? I want to get to Starbucks on 59 Feeder. Take a right. Circle around. Take the U-turn. Get on the expressway. Get off the expressway. In 0.5 miles, take a U-turn. You are now at your destination. It is on the right. She tells you how to get there. Listen, the Holy Spirit is your spiritual Siri. Not to insult the Holy Spirit, but listen, you know what he does? He takes the map and he says, believer, you know what part of my job is? Is as you read through here to tell you what's going on. He illumines the scripture. He gives you understanding of what the map says. And then he gives conviction in your life. As you're going out, recalculating, don't go that way. That's not the right way. That's not good and perfect and true. That's not the will of God. I'm telling you, don't go down that road. And you have the opportunity to go the right way. He tells you the way. Now again, you have to have the map. You've got to look at the map, study the map, memorize the map, and be willing to do the map, to follow the map, But the Spirit of God is in you. When you give Him control of your life, here's what you're saying: God, I want Your will in this area of my life. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, I will come in and I will enable, I will empower you to do the will of God right here in this moment, at this time, to do what is right according to God's Word. That's His job in your life, to direct you. Listen, God's will never changes. We've talked about that, no matter what the circumstances around you. So you can trust the Bible, you can trust the Holy Spirit to always be guiding you in God's will. The roads never, never change. He isn't going to add an overpass. He's not going to give you a detour. His will always be lined up. If you want to walk in wisdom, then you walk in God's will. You want to walk in God's will, you get your nose in this book, you study it, you memorize, and then you surrender yourself, control of your life to the Holy Spirit. You allow Him to guide and to direct you. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, these things, meaning the wisdom of God, that's what he's talking about in verse 7 of Corinthians 2. God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we, believers, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might understand the things that are freely given us by God. Paul says the Spirit has been given to the believer so that they can understand all that has been given to them by God. How do you know all that has been given to you by God? He has given it to you in His Word. That's how you come to know the things of God. Now listen, this does not mean that if I'm not drunk, then the Spirit has control of my life. That's just the example that he used. Listen, you could be drunk with power. You could be drunk with pornography or sex or fame or any other number of things. You can give control of your life to those things as easily as giving control of your life over to alcohol. And they can begin to dictate what you do with your time, how you spend your money, how you relate to others, the places that you go. They will take control of your life. But guess what? Those things have no saving quality any more than alcohol does. They are destructive in your life, which is why they are not the path to take. It's why the fool takes those paths. The wise allow the Spirit to guide them in what is right and good and true, in accordance with God's Word. But it also means you cannot live contrary to God's Word and say you are surrendered to the Holy Spirit, walking in God's will. Do not come to me and say, well, the Spirit revealed that I'm supposed to leave my husband. Let me promise you, He did not reveal that to you. Well, the Spirit revealed that I can just stay home and I can worship on my own from now on. Let me promise you, the Spirit did not reveal that. Why? Because it does not line up with God's Word. Do not tell me that the Spirit of God is telling you to do something that does not line up with God's Word. Because what you're saying is that the Spirit of God and God's Word are contrary, which means God the Father and God the Spirit are at odds with one another. That ain't happening. I don't care how deep the feeling was. I don't care how many times you had the dream or how vivid the dream was. If what you are saying the Spirit of God is leading you to do does not line up with the Word of God, it is not the will of God and it is not the Spirit of God. You need to stop putting so many pepperonis on your pizza, maybe. But you will be amazed at the number of people who blame the Spirit for their sin. Careful. Careful. If the direction of your life or the direction of the moment of your life is contrary to the Word of God, the Spirit is not leading you that way. Therefore, to go in that direction is to walk the path of the fool. So, how do you walk in wisdom? Number one, you seek the will of the Lord. Number two, you surrender to the Holy Spirit. But to do those two things, you have to believe that God's will actually is best for you. If you're going to give Him control, you have to believe where He's going to take you is going to be for your ultimate good and His glory. If you truly believe that, that is when you will get your nose to find out where He's taking you. That's when you will surrender your life. Listen, you can know and you can believe that God's will for your life is best, that everything that He does is for your good. Why? Because Christ died to redeem you from the path of foolishness and to enable you to walk the path of wisdom. That's why He went to the cross. God is not holding anything back that is good for you. So the path of foolishness may offer something different. It may even offer you something more in the terms of earthly quantity. However, in the end, that path is not for your good and it will lead to destruction. Why? Because God is not leading you there. So if we're going to shine the light of Christ into the darkness, we have to walk in wisdom, which means we look to the cross, we understand that everything that God does for us is for our good, and so therefore we say, I'm going to find out what He wants. I'm going to surrender my life over to the Holy Spirit so that He can then show me how to walk in wisdom. The second law of thermodynamics states, entropy in an isolated system that is not in equilibrium will tend to increase over time until it reaches a maximum equilibrium level. Or if you're like me and have absolutely no clue what that means, the second law of thermodynamics states this: if you have a cold room and you have a hot room, and you have nothing to influence the temperature of either, and you open a door in between them, given enough time, the hot room will cool down, the cool room will rise in temperature, and they will become equal. They will reach equilibrium. That's your second law of thermodynamics. Listen, we need to take special care to guard our lives against the second law of thermodynamics spiritually. We live in a world of darkness, of sin. We have not been called to remove ourselves from that world. We have been called to shine the light of Christ into that world. However, we cannot allow ourselves to be apathetic towards the path that we walk in life. We cannot allow ourselves to fall asleep at any moment of our life thinking, oh, I've got this. I don't have to pay attention as to whether I'm following God's will, walking on the path of wisdom. Because if we're not intentional to walk in wisdom by seeking to understand God's will and surrender to the Holy Spirit's control, then we are going to find ourselves walking in foolishness. We will be in equilibrium with the world. But that's why you get yourself into the Word of God. That's why you get yourself around other Christians. It's why you get yourself under the teaching of God's Word. Because if you have two rooms, one's hot and one is cold, and you open that door, but you turn the heat on in this room, the temperature in that room continues to rise and it begins to affect the other room. And the temperature in that room begins to rise. That's what we're supposed to be doing. As we walk in wisdom, we're shining the light of Christ and we're saying no to the things of the world, no to the path of foolishness. But we're not removing ourselves from the darkness. We're actually shining light into the darkness. We are affecting them so that they will be in equilibrium with us as they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit becomes residing in them and they become our brother and sister in Christ, a child of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your truths. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for all that You have done so that we can live this life in fullness, with joy, with hope, and as light. Father, You have not called us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling so we earn Your favor. We have Your favor in Christ Jesus. You've not called us to walk worthy of the calling to which You have called us, to walk worthy of the gospel because You want to just see if we really got it. Somehow keep our salvation. Our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. The reason you've called us to walk worthy of the gospel is to, one, demonstrate our love and worship of you, and to, two, shine the light of the gospel into this dark world. They are lost and groping and blind. They don't know where to go. It's not that they don't have a map. They can't see. The map is right there in front of them, but they can't understand it. God, they need us to shine the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ into their lives so that they can say yes to Jesus. And the light can shine in them. And they can see the map. Understand your word. Understand your love for them. Understand who you are. And so God, in order for us to do that, we have to be in tune with your will, so that we can walk wisely in a dark world. So give us such an abounding love for you that every day we want to learn something new about you, new about what you would have us to do, new about who you are, new about what the gospel means in our life, so that we will go out into the world in full surrender to the Holy Spirit's control, so that you will use us as empty vessels for your kingdom. God, may it be so to your glory. Amen.